From Lakeland, Garmin announces synthetic vision for the rest of us. Cessna announces the Mustang will have it by year's end. And Avadyne counters with a new Integra FMS for small planes. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, April 8th, 2008. Do you remember life before Garmin introduced the G1000? Neither do we. Early Monday, Garmin announced the next significant advancement to the highly popular and capable glass panel avionics suite, and it's a big one. Garmin tells ANN it recently received FAA Supplemental Type Certification for Garmin Synthetic Vision Technology, designed to fully integrate with the G1000, including existing units already in the field. Garmin's SVT presents a 3D depiction of terrain, obstacles, and traffic on the G1000's primary flight display to replicate what pilots would see outside the cockpit on a clear day. Land, water, and sky are clearly differentiated with shading and textures similar to the topographical colors found on the multifunction display's moving map. SVT alerts pilots of potential ground hazards by displaying them with appropriate TAWS alert coloring. SVT is expected to be available on G900X-equipped aircraft by July and on the G1000 King Air C90 retrofit in 2009. Integration into existing or yet-to-be-delivered G1000-equipped aircraft is being coordinated with aircraft manufacturers. Cessna followed up immediately with its own announcement that it will offer Garmin's SVT on all its G1000-equipped aircraft, starting with the Citation jet family, then on downline to the Caravan and even Piston singles, all within about a year. Cessna says SVT will come to the Mustang as a factory option later this year. Now certified in 47 countries, the Mustang became the first of a new category of entry-level jets to achieve full certification from the FAA in September 2006 and from the European Aviation Safety Agency in May of 2007. Cessna delivered 45 Mustangs in 2007, and the fleet has accumulated more than 10,500 hours. Avadyne Corporation has some big news to share at Lakeland. Early this morning, the avionics manufacturer announced the introduction of its new Integra FMS 900W WAS-enabled GPS NavCom flight management system. The FMS 900W is designed to reduce workload for single-pilot IFR operations and provides fully redundant state-of-the-art VHF and TSO turbine-class FMS capability for all general aviation aircraft. Utilizing a fully modular architecture, the FMS 900W flight management system is an enhancement to Avadyne's Integra integrated flight deck platform and is designed specifically to take advantage of Integra's large format displays and ByteFlight peer-to-peer data bus architecture. Company President Dan Schwinn calls the FMS another step in delivering on Avadyne's philosophy of making flying simple. Quote, "We challenged our team to deliver an Integra FMS that is highly capable to meet the demands of 21st century flight, yet it has to be simple and intuitive to operate, and the FMS 900W has exceeded our expectations," unquote. Avadyne says it's nearing completion of the product design phase and will soon be pursuing certification. Announcements are promised over the next several months. Pilatus Aircraft announced Monday the receipt of European and FAA certification for the next-generation PC-12, now officially called the PC-12NG. Pilatus announced the plane at NBAA 2006, calling the next-generation program the latest progression of the popular PC-12 turboprop. Receipt of joint EASA and FAA certification will allow deliveries of the PC-12NG to begin immediately. NG includes a fully integrated Honeywell Primus Apex avionics system, a completely new cockpit designed by BMW Group Design Works USA, and a more powerful Pratt & Whitney Canada PT6A 67P engine. Pilatus Aircraft Limited was founded in 1939 and claims world market leadership in the manufacture and sale of single-engine turboprops. The company says it's the only one in Switzerland that develops and produces private and training aircraft. Up next on ANN, Delta and Northwest resume their merger dance marathon. Low-cost airlines top 2007 performance ratings. And American announces a hiring freeze. You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin WAS GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. If you're going to fly in the soup, you got to have an opener. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
Do you think the only time your certified airplane can be equipped with a full emergency airframe parachute recovery system is when it rolls off the production line? Well, think again. VRS is the aftermarket leader in providing full airframe recovery parachutes for certified airplanes like yours. We manufacture the reliable parachute systems you need for a full range of aircraft, including Cessna. For your own safety and for that of your family members and loved ones, get the extra life assurance of a VRS airframe recovery parachute. In the event of an emergency, you'll never question the security of having one final option. Call BRS at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 8, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Reuters is reporting that Delta Airlines Incorporated has agreed to revive merger talks with Northwest, even without an agreement between pilot groups at the two companies on seniority integration issues. The news service quotes an unnamed person briefed on the situation. The report follows a meeting of Delta's directors convened on Friday. Northwest is said to have urged Delta late last month to consider renewed talks. The merger would create the world's largest airline, with a pre-merger combined pilot workforce of 12,000. The two pilot groups, both represented by the Airline Pilots Association, declared the merger dead last month after they failed to reach agreement on how to integrate the two groups, despite a reported offer from the airlines to increase their pay and provide stock to pilots as incentives. Seniority is important. It determines pilots' pay and the priority in bidding for work schedules and which aircraft they'll fly. Reuters cites its unnamed source in reporting other details of a merger agreement were finalized by both airlines last month, but will need to be revisited now that oil prices have continued to rise. Both Delta and Northwest have so far declined official comment. You don't always get what you pay for. Low-cost carriers AirTran, JetBlue, and Southwest took the top three spots in a national survey of airline quality, while the industry overall fared poorly amid rising fuel prices and increasingly disgruntled customers. At the bottom of the list released on Monday were Comair, American Eagle, and in last place was Atlantic Southeast Airlines. Brent Bowen, a study co-author and professor at the University of Nebraska at Omaha's Aviation Institute, says 2007 was the worst year ever for U.S. airlines. Quote, overall operational performance and quality declined once again to the lowest level that it's ever been, unquote. The annual airline quality rating survey found that more bags were lost, more passengers bumped, more customers complained, and fewer flights arrived on time than in the previous year. The overall quality score the researchers gave the industry, -2.16, was the lowest in the nearly two decades they've been studying the airlines. According to the study, the rate of consumer complaints was up 60% last year. U.S. Airways had the most complaints. Southwest had the fewest. In all, complaints were up for 15 of 16 airlines included in the study. Mesa Airlines was the sole exception. About 37% of the complaints were for flight problems, including canceled or averted flights. About 20% concerned stolen, lost, or damaged baggage. 11% involved poor customer service. On-time arrivals dropped for the fifth straight year, with more than one quarter of all flights late, according to the survey. Southwest had the best on-time performance, Atlantic Southeast the worst. You can find more of the ugly details in the print version of this story on our website at aero-news.net. American Airlines says it's frozen the hiring of management and support staff in its latest move to cope with high fuel costs and a slowing economy. American spokesman Andy Backover says the company will honor job offers issued before April, but otherwise the freeze will be in place indefinitely. On Friday, Backover told the Associated Press, quote, I think it's no secret that the entire industry, including us, has been struggling to contain costs, mainly the cost of fuel, unquote. That struggle has included announcements over the past 10 days by Skybus, ATA, and Aloha Airlines that each have stopped flying and filed for bankruptcy protection, all laying at least part of the blame on oil prices, which have remained above $100 a barrel. American said last month it expects to spend $9.3 billion on fuel this year. That's up 39% from 2007. The airline says fuel now accounts for about one-third of its expenses, about triple the percentage that fuel costs represented in 1999. AeroNews continues to investigate reports Liberty Aerospace cut a part of its 180-person workforce in Melbourne, Florida last week as part of a continuing shift of manufacturing work overseas. Florida Today attributes the report to Liberty CEO Keith Markley, who said the company plans to outsource more production to Eastern Europe, where the company currently employs 160 people. Company officials reportedly termed the workforce shift a reorganization, but declined to quantify layoffs in Melbourne. In a company statement, Markley observed, quote, "As Liberty continues to expand production, the expense associated with this growth could be absorbed in the Romanian facility much better than in Florida," unquote. Liberty says its Romanian partner will manufacture certain carbon fiber and other metal components for the XL2. Liberty's news came as a shock in Melbourne. As recently as December, the plane maker said it had planned to add up to 50 more workers in Florida to aid in ramping up to produce a 600-plane order in China. Still ahead, the aerospace industry embraces Mexico. NASA assures Congress the Ares vibration problem will be solved. And an EasyJet 737 makes an emergency landing in Greece. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, April 8th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. In today's increasingly global marketplace, there's a good chance much of your car was built in Mexico. USA Today notes that increasingly, the planes you fly are made there too. Lower wages, enthusiastic government promotion, a new safety agreement with the U.S., and an increasingly sophisticated workforce are credited with that trend. The paper reports Mexico's aerospace-related exports have more than tripled since 2004 and now total $683.2 million as of last year. And the phenomenon is not limited to parts or subassemblies. Canada's Bombardier says it wants to eventually assemble complete jets in Mexico. Already, the company builds tail sections for its Global Express business jet there. One new plant in the central Mexican city of Querétaro pays workers $3.50 an hour to build rudders and bundles of wiring for airliners. Not surprisingly, U.S. unions are not pleased with either the job flight or the pay scales south of the border. Ron Eldridge, the aerospace coordinator for the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, notes, quote, "This is a technological base, an important industrial base for our country, and we're just giving it up," unquote. It's not likely the trend can be reversed anytime soon. Bombardier says it saves 30% on parts made in Mexico, even after adjusting for transportation costs. The Mexican government hopes a new bilateral aviation safety agreement with the U.S. will further boost aviation employment in Mexico. The agreement allows Mexican officials to certify new aircraft parts instead of shipping them to the USA for inspection. NASA engineers told Congress last week they're working on the first stage vibration problem foreseen for the agency's upcoming Ares 1 booster rocket, but so far, no clear solution has been found. Alabama's Huntsville Times reports engineers at the Marshall Space Flight Center continue to work on the issue, first disclosed in January. The problem is due to accelerating gas vortices from the rocket, which happen to match the natural vibrating frequencies of the motor's combustion chamber. That combination causes the shaking. Since Ares is still under development, engineers are working to solve the problem in the virtual world before flight testing begins in 2009. NASA has called in retired agency managers and academic consultants for help. NASA stresses its scientists are up to the task of coping with the problem, noting that the Saturn V rocket program suffered similar vibrations, which led to severe problems on that rocket's second test flight in 1968. A Boeing 737 from Athens to Luton made an emergency landing back at Athens 40 minutes after it left there Sunday night, after what passengers said were flames coming from one of the engines. The BBC reports the EasyJet passengers had already waded through a 90-minute delay caused by reports of snow in the UK. As the engine issue developed, they echoed a common complaint about airlines in stressful times: poor communications. Adele Berry from Leeds told the BBC, quote, "There was a big clanging noise, and obviously we were all terrified. There wasn't a lot of information being given. Then people toward the rear of the cabin said there was a fire and were shouting, 'Fire, fire!' We thought we were going to crash. We didn't have a clue what to do, so we just sat there holding hands and hoping we'd get back down again," unquote. The pilot reportedly dumped his fuel load while circling over the Mediterranean before returning to land. EasyJet said its engineers are investigating a technical problem on flight EZY2002 and that all passengers were allowed to rebook on alternate flights to the UK. And finally, a pilot with All Nippon Airways Air Central is accused of allowing two flight attendants to sit in the co-pilot seat and handle the controls during a flight in December. A report in the Yomiuri Shinbun is cited by the Associated Press in reporting that the 51-year-old captain has been suspended from flying for violating company rules. An airline spokesman, however, said that because the captain had retained control of the twin turboprop Fokker 50 and no passengers were on board, his actions were not unsafe. Japan's Construction and Transport Ministry apparently does not share that assessment. The agency is expected to order administrative penalties, including its own suspension, for the captain's violations of Japanese aviation law. Gee, remember the good old days when the captain's uniform was all you needed to get girls? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today we'll hear about the post-9/11 plight of College Park Airport in Maryland from airport manager Lee Schick. College Park is one of three small general aviation airports which remain virtually closed due to restrictions by the Transportation Security Administration. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.